Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM, all in association with our lovely friends at Hutton View Care Home. On the phone right now, I've got Derek. Morning, Derek.
Morning. Morning.
Now, last week, Derek, I don't know if you were listening, but last week, last Thursday, I think it was, we actually spoke to Thurrock and Brentwood Mind, which is a charity that's involved in talking to people, basically. They help you with your any problems that you've got, any depressions, any anxieties. And I know you've actually suffered with anxiety and depression in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, it kicked off in 2012. I recovered last year.
Right, so it's taken you
seven years.
And what I mean, at its worst, describe a really bad day.
I guess the beginning was a really bad day because I've been in sales for 40 years. I was fit. I was top of my game. I was running my own business. I'd been in sales for 40 years. Last 20 years was my own sales contracting business. I used to contract to people like Oracle. And I was shaving. I was waiting for a huge deal from Holland that was going to set me up for my pension. And for various reasons, it was going to go wrong. And I knew it. I'd had lots of problems with family. I'd had lots of problems with this big deal. And basically, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. So
right.
I was shaving, and I had this really bad feeling. I was having a heart attack. So in my chest, on my arms, around my back, I thought I was having a heart attack. So we whizzed around to the doctor, and he said, no, it's not a heart attack. He said, it's anxiety. You've just had an anxiety attack. I didn't know what that was. And he said, that's okay. Don't worry about that. He said, we're going to give you these depressants. I said, well, what do they do? He said, well, we don't actually know, but they seem to work. So I came home, never taken a drug in my life. And all I wanted to do was nothing, absolutely nothing. So for that first, I don't know, maybe a year, I was lying horizontal.
Oh, really?
Not talking to anybody, not answering the phone, not listening to music, which I loved, nothing. I just didn't want to do anything. He asked me about suicide, and I hadn't even thought about suicide initially. And it shocked me when he asked me. But I thought about it, and I did think about it. I did think about it only because I wanted to be back where I was the day before.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be where I was. And so that was a long, long period of nothing at all. My body didn't want to know. My brain didn't want to know. I didn't want to know. Everybody was in shock. So, you know, when you say, did I have a bad day? I had years of bad days.
Wow.
But, yeah, and it was such a shock to everybody because I wasn't that person. I was the salesman that always did sales prizes, took my kids to Hawaii. I was, you know, super fit. I did karate, I did Pilates, I did cycling. We went on cycling journeys, you know, and all of a sudden, bang, just like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And the thing that got to me was that the doctor obviously didn't know and didn't have care, didn't have coping mechanisms. So he said, take these pills. And I said, well, what else? And he said, well, that's it. I said, well, you know, there's got to be more. Well, yeah, we could do some counselling, but it's a 6-month wait.
Oh, so, my word.
You know, I was on my own. Just on my own. My wife's a yoga teacher, so we tried to deal with using yoga, but, you know, it didn't really do it for me. And we tried a lot of wacky people, I tell you. We met a lot of wacky people trying to, because she was desperate to help.
After going through it all, when you look back now, were there any early warning signs that you now know, but you didn't know then?
Yeah, there was the early warning sign that I used to say to people, this deal's killing me. I used to say that to people. This
really?
Deal's killing me. Yeah, and there was just nobody does or did what I did, which is sales contracting for two companies, not just one company, for two companies.
Yeah.
So that pressure was on me. And I kept saying to my wife, I said, I don't know how I'm dealing with this. I don't know how to deal with this. But in my brain, I was beginning to get sort of like repeating messages of feeling very anxious and worrying, huge amount of worrying, and beginning not to be able to cope with day-to-day type things, you know, like put my credit card number into a machine and I thought, well, I can't do that because it's a wrong number and it's not going to work. So the anxiety was beginning to creep up on me and stop me functioning. Yeah.
Do you think it was the pressure of your job that actually pushed you down that road?
No. I saw a psychiatrist at the end of all of this. Last year I recovered, and we can talk about that in a minute. But she said from 5 years old, for various reasons, which we can go into if you want to, but I decided with my family that I wasn't going to go the way they wanted me to go, and I was going to go my own way. My own way was ignoring everybody around me, just ignore everybody around me and be self-sufficient. So when I was going through my life, I was totally self-sufficient. Everybody asked me, how you doing? I'd say, great. best mate of mine said to me afterwards, "You never were you?" And I said, "No, I wouldn't admit to it."
Yeah.
So you snap. Yeah. That shaving session, I snapped.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was just that build up from family, from the job, and from an approach that, okay, I coped with it for 60 years. I'm 70. Coped with 60 years, the human condition doesn't allow that. Doesn't allow you to kid yourself.
Yeah.
That you can try and be this self-sufficient Superman. It's not possible. So I snapped. So I knew it was coming. And uh-huh. I was kidding people because I was super fit. But what I didn't know, mentally, I was in a mess. Just in a mess.
So yeah. how did the psychiatrist? How did the psychiatrist actually help you with this depression? What did they actually do?
So I'd fix myself, right? So the stage was, I told you I had the anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Did nothing for 7 years. Wouldn't talk to my friends. I ran away from people, and then I began to get better, but I didn't know I was getting better.
Right.
And the coping mechanisms I had, I used to sit in libraries and read for hours on end. I used to go around to best mates and sit there all day talking to them. And then when they asked me a question, I wouldn't answer. I just kept asking them, how were they? And then I started to drive out to Suffolk because I loved Suffolk. And so I was sitting in libraries in Suffolk. I was sitting in car parks in Suffolk. And I was getting better. And so in the spring of 2019, my wife said to me, "We need to go on holiday, Derek." And I said, "Okay." And we've always cycled. We've done long-distance cycling, touring cycling. So I designed a 5-continent bike ride with 20 train journeys, 200 miles cycling.
Wow.
Holland, Germany, Poland, Denmark. And going through that 3 weeks of every day getting up and having to cycle 20 or 30 miles or having to get on a train broke the hold in my mind. I don't know how it happened. It just broke the hold. So to come back to your question, when I came back and I was feeling better, I decided I had to know what caused this. And I had to know, was it going to be the same for my sons? Because I didn't want that. And I didn't understand it. So I went to see a really good psychiatrist, and she took me back to when I was 5 years old and said, "Okay, tell me about your family. Tell me about what went wrong." And I explained all that. She explained, as I said earlier, that I've been carrying this load for 60 years and it snapped. So she explained it to me, and she said, it's not genetic. Your upbringing isn't the upbringing you've given your kids. The upbringing you've given your kids is very different. Therefore, they won't suffer from what you suffered from.
Right.
So she unlocked the question I had, which was, it wasn't genetic. It was from my coping mechanisms and the pressure that I was under as a kid at 5 years old that caused me to have this problem. And then, because of who I am and what I am, I decided to start my third business.
Right.
And that's what I've been doing. And I'm so focused. And it's like when you break a bone in your body, when it mends, it's stronger.
Yeah.
And if you can possibly get through this stuff, when you come out of it, I'm super sharp. I've never been sharp. And my sense of humor's back. I'm listening to music. We're back touring on bicycles. I'm recovered. There's not many people that, well, I don't know. I don't know the percentage that recover. I've met a few people that haven't, but I'm blessed.
Well, Derek, thank you so much for coming on and telling us this. Brentwood and Thurrock Mind have already said, they said last week they're expecting a big influx after this next lockdown that we're going into. Fingers crossed there isn't. But you would say that the psychiatrists and the help that you seeked helped you in the long term then?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think my belief is that you need help, you need guidance, but if it's in your soul, if it's deep down, which it is in mine, you'll come out of it. And I'm happy to help people that want to call me and talk it through. It's one of my business plans to start another business, which is basically helping salesmen that are trapped like I was.
Yeah.
And I know I can help them out. So feel free to contact me. You know, you can do it by the station. But there is, there's hope. Absolutely. Just got to believe it. But you've got to know what you're getting into, and you've got to know how to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, Derek, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. There's probably a lot of people that are going through the same sort of situation as you went through that are listening right
Absolutely.
Now. And you've given them hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. Can be done. Absolutely. And I wish them luck.